Now we will begin part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
I think I'll run down to the bookstore and pick up a few things.
But aren't we going to meet Sally at the student center? She's expecting us at 4, and it's almost that now.
What does the woman imply? Number 2.
Congratulations. I heard about your new job.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nearly perfect for me. It's really interesting. The hours are ideal, and it's an easy walk from home. If only the pay were half as good as everything else.
What does the man mean? Number 3.
Do you know anyone who's driving to the conference in Boston next weekend?
Pete is, and I think he has room for another person.
What does the man imply the woman should do? Number 4.
Did I hear you say you're using the newspaper in your political science class? I was wondering if, when you finish it, you could pass it on to me.
Well, we do use it in class, but I always read the copy at the library.
What does the woman mean? Number 5.
I've noticed that you haven't been getting along too well with your roommate lately.
You've got that right, and it's going to be a long time before I feel comfortable with him again.
What does the man mean? Number 6.
How did you ever manage to get through all 1,000 pages of that new spy thriller?
It took a while, but once I had started it, I couldn't put it down.
What does the man imply? Number 7.
Hey, Pamela, how are you doing? I heard you had an operation over spring break.
Yes, Bill. Thanks for asking. I was pretty much out of commission for a few weeks there, but finally I'm back on my feet again.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
How about a little tennis? Say, Saturday or Sunday?
That sounds great. I could use a good workout. It seems like all I've been doing lately is sitting in front of this computer.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 9.
Did you read today's newspaper? I heard there's something about a new wonder drug.
I did read an article about medical researchers being on the verge of a major breakthrough.
What does the man mean? Number 10.
Where have you been? We were supposed to meet at the library a half hour ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm really sorry. I guess I just lost track of the time.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number 11.
I'm sorry, but you can't take your camera inside. You'll have to leave it here and pick it up after the concert.
Well, I guess it's too late to take it back to the car. Please be careful with it. It belongs to my roommate, and she'd never forgive me if anything happened to it.
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
The application instructions say to enclose a check or money order for $20, but I don't have a checking account.
You can just pick up a money order at the post office.
What will the man probably do? Number 13.
You know, I really think you should run for class president. Everybody knows you and likes you, and you've got some great ideas.
Thanks. I have thought about it, but I'm taking 6 classes and working a part-time job, and that's about all I can handle right now.
What does the woman mean? Number 14.
I'm having a few friends over for lunch tomorrow. It'd be great if you could join us.
I doubt I'll be able to make it. My brother's leaving for Chicago tomorrow afternoon, and I promised to give him a ride to the airport.
What does the woman imply? Number 15.
My cousin Lisa said she mailed me some books, but they never came.
Well, you just moved into a new dormitory. She probably sent them out before she had your new address.
What does the man imply? Number 16.
Excuse me, do you have the time?
Actually, I'm not positive, but I'd say it's right around noon.
What does the woman mean? Number 17.
My dinner tastes kind of funny.
Then why don't you have the waiter bring you something else?
What does the man imply? Number 18.
Did Mary meet you at the airport yesterday?
Yes, but she sure got tired waiting for my flight to get in. We circled the airport for 3 hours.
What does the man imply? Number 19.
About this survey on the quality of life in the dorm, I feel sort of awkward because, well, I'm not really comfortable here. Are you sure you want me to fill out the survey form?
It's people like you who can help us target areas for improvement.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 20.
I'm the only one in class who didn't sign up for the biology field trip. Slogging through a swamp in the rain can't be fun.
Nope. But I've got a feeling your classmates will come back knowing some things you won't know.
What does the woman mean? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
What are you watching?
Some boring comedy show, but the Channel 6 news is on in a couple of minutes.
What will the man probably do? Number 22.
Excuse me, Professor Jones. I was absent from the first class, and I heard that's when you handed out the course outline. Would you happen to have an extra copy?
I don't have any with me, but there are a few left in my office. Why don't you stop by after class?
What does the woman imply? Number 23.
So, how did Jason's presentation go?
It wasn't bad, but the topic he chose last time was much more interesting.
What does the man mean? Number 24.
Would you happen to know somebody who'd like to buy my car?
Well, I don't know of anyone offhand, but I'll check with some of my friends.
What does the woman imply? Number 25.
Do you know where the nearest bus stop is?
Actually, I'm pretty new to this area.
What does the man mean? Number 26.
Did you hear? The weather report says we're going to get at least a foot of snow tomorrow.
That much? That's incredible. I can't wait to go outside and play in it.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number 27.
Growing up, we never had a TV, so even now I'm not used to watching it much.
Well, it's kind of like reading. Some things you find are great, but a lot are a real waste of time. You have to pick and choose.
What does the man mean? Number 28.
I love this hat. And look, it's on sale.
Yeah, but it doesn't do much for you. What about the green one? It's a little expensive, but it really looked great on you.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 29.
That's a really interesting shirt. Must be from your vacation, huh?
No, but you're close. My sister brought it back from Hawaii for me.
What does the woman mean? Number 30.
So your company isn't moving to the West Coast after all?
Well, not for the time being, but I've been looking into other employment opportunities here anyway, just in case.
What can be inferred about the man? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. The test continues on Side 2. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a discussion in a biology class. The class is discussing the human skeletal system.
Okay, last night you were supposed to read an article about human bones. Are there any comments about it?
Well, to begin with, I was surprised to find out that there was so much going on in bones. I'd always assumed they were pretty lifeless.
Well, that's an assumption many people make. But the fact is, bones are made of dynamic, living tissue that requires continuous maintenance and repair.
Right. And that's one of the things I found so fascinating about the article, the way that bones repair themselves.
Okay. So can you tell us how the bones repair themselves?
Sure. See, there are two groups of different types of specialized cells in the bone that work together to do it. The first group goes to an area of the bone that needs repair. This group of cells produces a chemical that actually breaks down the bone tissue and leaves a hole in it. After that, the second group of specialized cells comes, and they produce new tissue that fills in the hole that was made by the first group.
Very good. This is a very complex process. In fact, scientists who study human bones don't completely understand it yet. They're still trying to find out how it all actually works. Specifically because sometimes after the first group of cells leaves a hole in the bone tissue, for some reason, the second group does not completely fill in the hole. And this can cause real problems. It can actually lead to a disease in which the bone becomes weak and is easily broken.
Okay, I get it. So if the scientists can figure out what makes the specialized cells work, then maybe they can find a way to make sure that the second group of cells completely fills the hole in the bone tissue every time. That would prevent the disease from ever occurring.
Number 31. What is the discussion mainly about? Number 32. What is the function of the first group of specialized cells discussed in the talk? Number 33. What does the professor say about scientists who study the specialized cells in human bones? Number 34. According to the student, what is one important purpose of studying the specialized cells in human bones? Questions 35 through 38. Listen to a conversation between two students on a city bus.
Hi, Diane. Mind if I sit down?
Not at all, Jerry. How have you been?
Good, but I'm surprised to see you on a city bus. Your car in the shop?
No, I've just been thinking a lot about the environment lately. So I decided the air'd be a lot cleaner if we all used public transportation when we could.
I'm sure you're right, though a diesel bus isn't exactly pollution-free.
True, but they'll be running a lot cleaner soon. We were just talking about that in my environmental engineering class.
Well, what's the city going to do? Install pollution filters of some sort on all their buses?
They could, but those filters make the engines work harder and really cut down on fuel efficiency. Instead, they found a way to make the engines more efficient.
How?
Well, there's a material called zirconium oxide. It's a really good insulator, and a thin coat of it gets sprayed on certain parts of the engine.
An insulator?
Well, yeah. Actually, what it does is reflect back the heat of the burning fuel, so the fuel will burn much hotter and burn up more completely.
So a lot less unburned fuel comes out to pollute the air, right?
Yeah, and the bus will need less fuel. So with the savings on fuel costs, they say this will all pay for itself in just 6 months.
Sounds like people should all go out and get some of this stuff to spray in their car engines.
Well, it's not really that easy. You see, normally the material's a fine powder. To melt it so you can spray a coat of it on engine parts, you'd first have to heat it to over 10,000 degrees, and then, well, you get the idea. It's not something you or I'd be able to do ourselves.
Number 35. What is the conversation mainly about? Number 36. Why did the woman decide to ride the city bus? Number 37. What is zirconium oxide? Number 38. According to the woman, what may limit the use of zirconium oxide in cars? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording you hear, listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program.
I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful.
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, what is the main purpose of the program? Is C, to explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 39 through 42. Listen as the Dean of Students talks about a famous pianist.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alice Brown. As you know, we hold a series of events during the school year on various cultural topics. I am happy there's such a large crowd of both students and professors at this, the second of our Time Out for the Arts presentations this year. I see that almost every seat is taken. Tonight we're lucky to have as our guest a man of considerable fame in the world of music. He began to play the piano at age 5. By the time he was 10, he was already composing and playing his own pieces. He's a graduate of a famous Juilliard school in New York City. Our guest has spent the last 45 years of his very successful career touring the world playing concerts. We are fortunate that he's consented to come share some of his experiences with us. He has had many adventures along the way. Lost instruments, missed connections, no hotel rooms, locked concert halls, and so on. He has played for all of the most well-known conductors, not only in North America, but all over the world. The title of his talk is The Concert Tour, 40 Years on 4 Continents. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Daniel Robertson, one of the foremost pianists of our day.
Number 39. What is the main purpose of Dean Brown's remarks? Number 40. Why does Dean Brown feel pleased? Number 41. When did the pianist begin to play his own compositions? Number 42. What will the pianist mainly do? Questions 43 through 45. Listen to part of a talk given in a mass communications class.
Let's turn our focus now to advertising. We all know what an advertisement is. It's essentially a message that announces something for sale. Now, there's an important precondition that must exist before you have advertising, and that's a large supply of consumer goods, that is, things to sell. You see, in a place where the demand for a product is greater than the supply, there's no need to advertise. Now, the earliest forms of advertising, going back many hundreds of years, were the simple signs over shop doors that told you whether the shop was a bakery, a butcher shop, or what have you. Then, with the advent of the printing press, advertising increased substantially. Ads for products like coffee, tea, and chocolate appeared in newspapers and other periodicals, as well as on the sides of buildings. In the American colonies, advertising and communications media like newspapers and pamphlets became a major factor in marketing goods and services. By modern standards, these early advertisements were quite small and subdued, not the splashy full-page spreads of today. Still, some of them appeared on the front page of newspapers, probably because the news often consisted of less than fresh reports from distant Europe, while the ads were current and local. Advertising really came into its own and became an essential part of doing business during the Industrial Revolution. Suddenly, there was a much greater supply of things to sell. And as we said earlier, that is the driving force behind advertising. People's attention had to be drawn to the new products. Let's take a look at some of the advertisements from that time.
Number 43. What is the main topic of the talk? Number 44. What does the speaker say is an important precondition for advertising? Number 45. According to the speaker, what were the first advertisements? Questions 46 through 50. Listen to part of a lecture in a political science class. The professor has been discussing lawmaking in the United States.
We know then that in the United States, it's the job of Congress to review proposed new laws, which we call bills, and perhaps to modify these bills and then vote on them. But even if a bill passes in Congress, it still doesn't become a law until the president's had a chance to review it too. And if it's not to the president's liking, the bill can be vetoed or killed in either of two ways. One is by a veto message. The president has 10 days to veto the bill by returning it to Congress, along with a message explaining why it's being rejected. This keeps the bill from becoming a law unless overwhelming majorities of both houses of Congress vote to override the president's veto, something they rarely do. Often, lawmakers simply revise the vetoed bill and pass it again, this time in a form the president's less likely to object to, and thus less likely to want to veto. The other way the president can kill a bill is by pocket veto. Here's what happens. If the president doesn't sign the bill within 10 days and Congress adjourns during that time, then the bill will not become law. Notice that it's only at the end of an entire session of Congress that the pocket veto can be used, not just whenever Congress takes a shorter break, say, for a summer vacation. After a pocket veto, that particular bill is dead. If the lawmakers in Congress want to push the matter in their next session, they'll have to start all over with a brand new version of the bill.
Number 46. What is the main topic of the talk? Number 47. According to the speaker, what does a veto message explain? Number 48. According to the speaker, what do lawmakers often do after a veto message is issued? Number 49. What happens to a bill as a result of a pocket veto?